Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Via Williams.
I'm Seychelle Van Poole.
I'm Sarah Reynolds.
And I'm Wendy Papazan. Today, we're finishing up our two-part series on vision. Hopefully, you joined us last week where we talked about casting the vision for your absolute best life. Today, we're going to dive into the business side of things. We're going to talk about questions you can ask to uncover your organizational mission, why vision is absolutely crucial in business, and the difference between mission statement, vision, and values, how to determine your mission as an organization, and some tactical ways we create vision and value as leaders. Who wants to kick us off?
I would love to start off with the definition of a vision statement. Similar to mission statement, a vision statement provides a concrete way for the people who work with you to understand the meaning and purpose of your business. However, unlike a mission statement, which describes the who, what, and why of your business, a vision statement describes the desired long-term results of your company's efforts. A lot of people get these two confused. So the big difference is the mission statement is about the who, the what, and the why, and the vision statement describes the desired long-term results of your company's efforts.
I totally agree with that, Sarah. And it's important to balance vision and action, right? While an organization's vision is equivalent to the destination it seeks to reach, action represents the steps taken on the path to get there, right? You can't be all vision with no precision.
That's good.
Yeah, another way to look at it, you guys, the way I look at it anyway, is mission is sort of where you are now. Vision is where you want to be in the future. I mean, it's a very simplified, probably oversimplified.
Yeah, definition. Your mission is your why you exist today.
Yeah.
Right? That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I want to tell a story because I want to be practical, meaning I want people listening to understand how incredibly crucial this is to their business lives. It is everything. I decided I was going to start a team, and I went to all these classes and I learned how to hire. I learned how to do all the stuff, right? And I was nowhere near ready. So I start this team. This is back in 2012. And I think I went through like four or five assistants my first year, right? I hired three or four real estate agents to sell for me that lasted maybe 3 months each. I'm not sure. And it was a disaster. It was an absolute, utter disaster. And I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off, right? Basically hiring anyone that could fog a mirror. It was a disaster. And someone I know said, yeah, shocker, I know.
Just the visual of that just has giggling over here.
You know what? The phone's ringing off the hook. I'm just trying to survive.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had done like 9 million in volume the year before. And it ends up at the end of this particular year in 2012, we did 25 million. Can you imagine? That was just a huge leap, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like November of that year. And, you know, it's Thanksgiving and things are kind of slowing down a little bit. I'm still really busy. And a mentor of mine said, Via, what are you doing? slow down a hot minute. Which is like, what? What do you mean slow down? Slow down a hot minute. I know you're a woman of action. Slow down, take a breath. I want you to really think about the mission and the vision of what you're building. What do you really want this to look like, right? Craft that out. And it doesn't have to be in pen. It can be in pencil, right? It doesn't have to be chiseled in granite. It doesn't have to be written on the side of a building yet. So just kind of date something, as Wendy says. Don't marry it, just date it. So I created the mission and the vision of the Via Group. And with that, I hired the very first agent of the Via Group. And I tell everybody, I formed the Via Group December of 2013, because that is when Maybe it was 2012. Because that is when I formed my mission and my vision statement. Mm-hmm. I went on to use that as a filter and I never looked back. I increased 700% in 4 years. And I really attribute it to having the clarity of that mission and vision because A, I got to, my excitement got to sell it to the people I was hiring. And B, it gave all of us something to strive for, right?
Yep. I love that.
I love that. Because talented people want to be associated with something big.
Yes.
Right? You know, if you sit down with someone and you're sharing your vision for your business and you're like, you know what? I think we're probably going to do the same as we did last year, maybe just a little bit less because that really wore me out. nobody's going to jump on that bandwagon. Not a talented person anyway, right?
Yep. Vision casting for me has been something I've been studying and working on for a long time. And how it sort of started is I thought I was good at casting a vision. So I did an exercise with my team where I actually asked my coach to come into my office and ask each of my key leaders what our vision was for our company. Just because I thought I was doing a good job, I started studying. And when you have a clear vision, all of your organizations should know about it. I ended up being so mortified because each of my key leaders said something totally different and not one of them actually said our vision. And so I was like, oh my goodness, I clearly need to improve in this. So if we were to go today into your organization, right, and give each team member like a 3x5 card and say, write out the vision for the company that you work with, what would they write? Yeah, right? That's really would they end up writing the same thing? And so I know that for me, there's been multiple visionary leaders that have made a huge impact on me. I mean, we could almost spend all podcasts talking about some visionary leaders like Walt Disney and people like that. But it's really key is like, okay, making sure your vision should be clear enough to where everyone in your organization, they hear it enough, you repeat it enough that they know how to then tell someone else what the vision is.
And what does that look like for you? I mean, is it like every day or every week or what?
For me, every day we share. So one of the things that I think that it's really important to make a distinction in that I've learned through really studying vision casting, all of our organizations need to have a long-term vision. We also need to have a short-term vision. The short-term vision I've learned needs to be said daily. So for example, our short-term vision this year is to help 1,250 families, right, this year. My team hears that every single morning. At least once a month, they hear our long-term vision, which is to be in 10 major metro cities, helping 1,000 families a month and giving over $1 million to worthy causes. So very specific long-term vision. But if you don't, if you only say that, and we've never even crossed over, this will be the first year that we cross over 1,000 families in 1 year. And then I'm standing up and saying, we're going to do it every month.
Right.
There's a disconnect because they're not going to get behind it. Psychologists have actually studied, and it's got to be, you can't, I believe in thinking big, but you also need that short term so they can see we can actually achieve this, and they need to believe they can achieve it.
Sarah, I love this because what I know about casting the vision and getting buy-in is that it helps a team, right, get ownership. And everybody wants to be involved in something that's A, larger than themselves, right, and B, that they think will succeed. And so what you're hitting on is, look, I can succeed. I can see 1,200 homes a year. I can't see 10,000 homes a year yet. It's just too much. I don't think that's going to succeed. So there's a fine line when we're casting a vision as a leader with like, hey, what can my individual performance, how can that contribute to this greater vision, right? And will it succeed? So I just wanted to emphasize that. That's a really, really great thing that you're doing every day.
And thank you for being vulnerable and transparent too around, I think all of us have areas on vision casting and vision creation that we've had to go back to the drawing board and redo. And so by sharing, the story about your key leaders, I definitely have been in the same boat with you on that. And I really appreciate your vulnerability and transparency on that. And what I love about also making sure that the big vision is out there is it's making sure that you let your A players know that there is room in this organization for your big dreams and vision. And yet at the same time, we also have to make room for other people coming in too, so that you're eliminating anybody that might have some fear or scarcity around like, is there enough room for me and somebody else when somebody new comes on board?
That's really good, Seychelle. And before we're going to dive in here about how to cast a vision and how to set it and things like that. But before we do that, I just want to make sure all of our listeners hear me on this, right? It is the responsibility of you as a leader to cast the vision, okay? This is something that has to be done by you as a leader. It's actually not something that you can delegate. Mm-mm. In the beginning, I tried to delegate it because I am an action-oriented, head down. I'm gonna make it happen, right? Not say it's gonna happen. I'm gonna make it happen. Mm-hmm. But what I learned is I was really letting my organization down by not taking the responsibility of that for myself, right? So whether you're leading one department or an entire organization, if that organization or department is visionless, that's on you as the leader. So there are so many things that you can delegate as a leader, but vision is not one of them. You cannot delegate vision as
a
leader.
That.
That's really
well,
good.
And hopefully it doesn't get funky in here, but I just want to push back a little bit with you on your vision, Sarah, because I actually think you've got a really big goal. And I don't see that as a vision for your business, because once you hit that goal, then there's nowhere for you to go.
At Her Best Life, we're not just building businesses. We're growing our net worth, leveraging our platforms for good, and living our big lives. And that's what Empire Circle is all about. It's an executive membership designed for ambitious business women leaders who want more. More growth, more profit, more impact, and more freedom. This is where powerful, deep connections meet powerful results. Apply now at herbestlife.com and join us by stepping in to Empire Circle.
So when I've studied vision now for 2 years, and one of the things that I've learned from studying different visions is that it's really key for it to be specific. So I've seen a lot of visions like we're going to be the best. Well, how do you define the best? How do you know if you're reaching the vision?
Well, I mean, I thought that's the conversation that we had before, which is goals
are tangible.
Yeah, goals are tangible. And a vision is actually something that's unattainable, right? It's really like if you want to help people live their best lives, you're never going to hit that vision, right?
So this is actually cool for us to work through here for a second. And like, I mean, you guys are hearing real talk. This is how we talk off camera.
I knew it was going to get funky in here. Yeah.
So can I frame a question then, which would be, Wendy, in your opinion, if you were to look at that on a vision standpoint, and you're like, in your opinion or in your experience, what would that sound like if you were casting a vision to the team around what Sarah was saying?
Well, I think about the vision of Keller Williams, which is to be the real estate company of choice.
Yeah, and that's clear and specific. So,
and it's also a long-term vision, because Sarah was talking about short-term versus long-term, right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, to be fair, you probably have a long-term vision that we didn't talk about just now, right?
Well, for me, my long-term vision goes a lot to my personal vision, which is to be able to reverse tithe. And so for me, a lot of what I do is giving back to worthy causes. I'm super passionate about that. That almost ties into my personal. And so when I looked at, okay, what income level would I have to get at to basically live on 10% and give 90% away? That's what reverse tithing is. That's where we set out our mission, the goal, you know, the vision of 1,000 families a month. To me, that's going to take a long time. So there's not one real estate organization that is even close to 1,000 families a month. The top real estate organization last year helped 2,400 families. And so they're not even touching even close to it, right? And so it's going to take a long time for me to get there. And I think vision can change.
Yeah,
vision can change.
Well, and you know, Sarah, I push you, right?
This is our
thing. Mm-hmm. And because I see your greatness, I really do. And I see you with exponential power and exponential growth. And I see all of that in you. And so I don't want you to limit yourself. I really don't.
It's a good
from.
Conversation.
It all comes from love. You know that.
I do. Of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, I'll push back.
Yeah. Too. Right. And to me, it is an incredible goal, and that it is worthy of incredible people in your organization, but that's not a limitless vision. It's not, it's just not.
I love this. I love this conversation. And you know, really, vision is not a democracy, even though we need to get the input of others, right? Vision is the privilege of the founder and the leader to help cast. And
right.
So what you're hearing us right now is at the end of the day, Sarah's getting input from us, but ultimately she's going to decide whatever that vision is. So, you know, how to set the vision, right? You get input from others, your team, you know, thoughts from leaders in your industry.
Your podcast co-host.
Yes.
Live on the pod. Yes.
Live on the podcast. Not awkward.
Whether you want it or not. But, you know, then the next part is you're gonna test new ideas pragmatically against resources. And then the third part of that is you need to then articulate where they're going to go and to help your company strategically get there.
Yeah. And, you know, I find myself thinking, so I work for a company called the Ben Kinney Companies, and our vision is win, make, give, and do good, right? And what Ben's done is win, make, give has become really the moniker for our foundation. So we have all of a sudden internalized, not all of a sudden, over the years, we've internalized that vision, which is to make ourselves net worth millionaires and to make as many people as possible net worth millionaires. It's in our teaching, it's in our conversations, it's in our recruiting, it's in our retention, it's in really everything we do, right? It's the name of many of our assets in our company is our actual vision statement. But that doesn't mean we don't have short-term visions, Sarah. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have to defend you.
I think it's an important conversation to have, because you know it is, vision should be limitless, you know. Sure. even if it's you know, Elon Musk going to space or whatever it is, right? Yeah. It should be completely limitless. And I think the Ben Kinney Companies, like, that's a fairly new tweaked vision for you guys.
It is. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Last 18 months, 2 years now.
Yeah. I like it a lot.
Well, what are some questions we can ask ourselves if we're trying to figure out our vision for our business, right? We can say, what do we want our organization to look like in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? You know, how big is it? What are we famous for? Why does anyone care about what we do? How do people who work here feel about their jobs, right? Mm-hmm. How do I, as the founder, feel about my business? What's my role in it? So again, it's like thinking about your best life. Creating your vision statement for your business isn't something that you're just going to, you know, whip up after coffee one morning, right? It requires a lot of input, a lot of thinking. It's going to change as you grow and change, right? As your thinking becomes bigger, right? As the people around you push you to think bigger and do more and have a different vision of your life. And quite honestly, it's probably going to change as we age. You know, I feel like as I've been in my 40s, right? I'm going to be 49 this year. There's a certain amount of wisdom about what's important and what's not important, right? And for me, that's changing, you know, and I'm running towards my personal mission, which is to empower and inspire big thinking leaders to create lives of abundance, right? And that's very different than some goals that I have in my life.
Yeah, Ben is a good example of it changing, right? His organization is huge, right? How many companies are part of the Ben Kinney Companies? I mean, and then it all of a sudden has changed, and that can happen, right? I know for me, my entire life, I've changed as we discover what's most important to us. Also, what's most important to our team members, right?
Yeah.
I think that is really key. I think all four of us care deeply about all of the people in our world. And we want to continually cast a vision that's big enough to make sure that they can see the vision for their life within our vision, which I think is important.
Yeah. And for all of our listeners who might be plagued with perfectionism syndrome, I want to go back to something Wendy said. It's really important, because when I embarked on this, I sort of got frozen. I remember having this moment like, oh my gosh, like my vision and my mission, this is really big stuff. Like, this is the stuff that's engraved in buildings. And I picture this granite lobby in New York City I was in once, right? Where their mission and their vision was in there. And so it's really important to tell yourself this can be a living document. You know, mine's on Google Docs. My team had access to it, and it has to morph over the first few years. But what you find happens is it settles. Mm. It sort of settles on something, and then you live with that. And like, I love Wendy's analogy, you know, you date it for a while and then you marry it. But to both of your guys' points, there is a point where you might have to get divorced and get a new spouse. And that's okay too, right? It can definitely change.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Well, and, you know, I think, Sarah, you and I had this conversation once, was about not overselling the vision, right? Are you painting a realistic picture of your organization, or are you overselling it? I know for me, a few years ago, I feel like I was overselling the vision a little bit. You know, we were expanding to different locations, and, you know, we wanted to be in, you know, kind of all over the place. And I was thinking about these notches on my belt. And so I think I had to be clear about what the vision was, and yet what the reality of the organization was right right now, you know?
Yeah. I think that that's a really, really key point, Wendy. I was talking to a team leader that called me. Our organization has very high retention, and we're sort of known for that in the industry. And he called me and he said to me, he said, out of all of the leaders that I hear speak, you speak about opportunity the least. Mm. And at first I said, I thought he was like saying like, hey, step it up, right? With your, and I probably should step it up. And he said, but do you think that that is why you have such great, great retention? And then it made me think of a time where we just recently lost a recruit. So they chose to go with a different team. And I know this team is struggling in profitability, and I'm not in any way trying to put them down. But why he joined them was because they told him that they're going to build these 20 other companies that they're going to have ownership of, and he's going to have all this opportunity. When they're currently, the engine that's going to feed the other companies right now isn't even profitable. And so to me, I think it's really important not to oversell, because what you don't, the end goal is to impact people's lives long-term, mm-hmm. not just to get them. They're not someone to like win. And I know I'm going off on sort of a recruiting topic, but the goal is to retain them and to impact their life, right? And so you do want to make sure that you're not overselling something that you also can't live up to in terms of, you know, the vision can be something that you want to achieve, but making sure that you have a balance. And that's what this is a lot harder than just us telling you, right? This topic. So I think that's a key point, Wendy.
Sarah, and what you described just now is really freaking hard to do.
Yes.
I just want to take a pause and say that's really freaking hard to do. And it's such a fine balance between earning the right to be in business with really smart, talented people and casting the vision for where you want to go and making sure the vision is big enough for them and retaining. And, you know, and we're going to cover a lot on attracting talent retention in a future episode. So I don't want to spoil all the thunder from that. But it is a really big task as a leader to accomplish. And it is something that can become a lifelong journey to really master. It's not something that we just all of a sudden like get it once and it's like, oh, I got it. Like that is a pursuit for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And I wish I could say I've been studying vision for 2 years like you, Sarah. I think that's amazing. And, you know, we, full disclosure here, because that's what we do. We peek behind the curtain. We actually have recorded this vision episode with your business. It was one of the, because we thought it was so important. We knew it was the foundation of your business. And we recorded the episode and it was really, really bad.
It was so bad
because
I wasn't on it.
Yeah, Via wasn't there.
That was the problem.
Vision and Via do start with the same.
Yeah, just saying, Via.
So there you go. But I think that's because as a leader, it's not intuitive. You know, there are a lot of things that we do that we're just more a little bit more naturally good at, and this is really something that we have to think about and do and study and put thinking time in our calendar about it and get input from other people. Because also as leaders, you know, I love what you shared, Sarah, about how you thought your team was so aware of your vision. Yeah. And yet as leaders, you know, we can have this like reality distortion feel.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, you know? We do have it. Yeah. So here's what I know, ladies. I know that this is the pushback episode because I'm gonna push back in a way to prove to everybody how important vision is. And this is where I'm gonna push back, Sarah Reynolds. I mean you. Where I'm gonna push back is that person did win the recruit. So there's an argument that they won in casting the vision. While I completely agree with what you and Wendy said about overselling, which I am very guilty of in my past. It's probably one of the 12 constellation of reasons I lost my team. Another episode, another time. But I would argue
12 part series
on that one. And Wendy, you got the second part of that. Right?
Oh yeah,
I got part one. You got part two.
Okay, I'll do part three.
And you'll do part three. There you go. That's good news for everybody. But here's my point. My point is that's how important it is, Sarah. Like that's how important it is to sell the vision. They won the recruit, right? And so right or wrong, oversell, undersell, it is imperative to hiring, to retention, to getting everybody excited. Here's what I know. At the end of the day, what motivates people at work is when their individual goals are going to be met through your organization.
That's right.
Right?
That's really good.
Well, that's why they're there, right? And they have to tie into that, and they have to tie into the vision and believe that they're going to hit their individual goals through the organization's goals and the organization's vision. So 1,200 homes a year, call it a goal, call it a vision, whatever. You've got a whole bunch of people that really, truly believe that A, it's achievable, B, they're going to make an impact and they're going to hit their personal goals through it, right? And C, you are the one selling it every day and reminding them of that. You are a great leader. I mean, that's just such an important point.
I love that. Yeah. Well, and I think with that, guys, we're kind of wrapping up what this amazing episode. And yeah, you know, sorry, Sarah, I didn't mean to make you feel uncomfortable, but
no, it's all good.
You know, I see your greatness. I see the greatness in all of you and all of you listening. We all see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
right.
Today, I mean, there's a lot of nuggets today. So I took a lot of notes. Obviously, we asked some questions about how you can figure out your organizational mission, why vision is really crucial in business. And what's interesting is it's almost like you need the vision before you start your business, but at the same time, you can't really create it until your business is there. It's weird, you know? And then the difference between mission, vision, and values, they're all really important. Some frameworks that you can have to determine your mission as an organization, for sure you want to get input from the people around you because we do have this reality distortion field. And we don't want to oversell our goals to people. And then as a leader, why mission and vision is just absolutely so important. And then that last little nugget that Via said, I thought was really important, mm-hmm. which is people want to be in your organization to get their goals and needs met.
That's right.
Right. And if you haven't clearly articulated your vision, then they're just coming for a job, right? They're just coming to work for a paycheck. And if you can fire them up about your big vision, right, and they can get on board with you, then together you'll even be more powerful. So great conversation today, guys. Great peek behind the curtain. We got a little sticky in there, and that was always fun. But you know, we love each other. And so I hope you guys will tune in next time for the next episode of Empire Building.
Thanks for listening to Empire Building. If you like what you heard, join our tribe by subscribing on your favorite podcast platform and help us spread the word by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Until next time, wishing you a life worth living. And remember, you are an empire builder.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.